Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
Tonight I'm going to be speaking about one of the Zen masters from what's considered the golden age of Chan, Chinese Zen. Zen master Shito was born in the 8th century, 700 AD actually, and I have to say, in choosing the subject to speak about tonight, and often I am inspired by the other monks here, as well as the students and Sangha, their feedback and observations in all these talks. Last month, our brother Genjo spoke eloquently about the ability of poetry to open the heart-mind beyond the meanings of words. And this reminded me of the works of one of the of this early Chinese Zen master, Shito, who is best known for two poems that he wrote that have inspired many generations of Zen practitioners, the Sandokai and the Song of the Grass Roof Hermitage. So we'll examine these two works tonight in search of the master's keen insight into the great matter of human existence and consciousness. Sitting between the intuitive and the rational, not two. In a grass hut high in the mountains of China lived a true Zen hermit. Although most of the masters spent time in solitude, this seems to have been with an eye toward eventually teaching in more communal settings. This master in the grass hut chose to spend most of his life far from the activity of the world, not concerned with having to preach the Dharma, just totally committed to living it. Yet, this hermit helped shape Zen Buddhism to such a degree that practitioners still follow his Dharma in the world today. Who was this man whose solitary life feels so different from our busy modern ones? Shito's life covered practically the whole of the 8th century, and along with his contemporary, Mazu, spawned Dharma successors who were the ancestors of all subsequent Zen lineages throughout the world, their teaching based on the fundamental truth of the oneness of all that is. Such oneness is revealed when the discriminating, separating mind is stilled, and stilling that mind is the fundamental work of Zen. Ordained at 28, and after studying with a master for another 14 years, he set off for an area that was at the time quite a spiritual hub in the Hunan province. There he built himself a small hut on a large flat rock. And so he soon became known as Shito, which means stone head or above the rock. Shito is said to have realized deep awakening on reading the words of the 4th century sage Sen Zhao from his essay Nirvana is Without a Name, where he came upon the words, "The ultimate man is empty and hollow. He has no form, yet of the myriad things there is none that is not his own making. Who can understand the myriad things as oneself? Only a sage." Out of this insight, Shito composed his great poem, The Identity of Relative and Absolute, or The Harmony of Difference and Equality. The work later became known as the Sandokai. I'll read it through once, and then I'll have some commentary to share with you. The mind of the great sage of India is intimately conveyed from west to east. Among human beings are wise ones and fools, but in the way there is no northern or southern patriarch. The subtle source is clear and bright. The tributary streams flow through the darkness. To be attached to things is illusion. To encounter the absolute is not yet enlightenment. Each and all, the subjective and objective spheres are related, and at the same time, independent. Related, yet working differently, though each keeps its own place. Form makes the character and appearance different. Sounds distinguish comfort and discomfort. The dark makes all words one. The brightness distinguishes good and bad phrases. The four elements return to their nature as a child to its mother. Fire is hot, wind moves, water is wet, earth hard. Eyes see, ears hear, nose smells, tongue tastes the salt and sour. Each is independent of the other. Cause and effect must return to the great reality. The words high and low are used relatively. Within light, there is darkness, but do not try to understand that darkness. Within darkness, there is light, but do not look for that light. Light and darkness are a pair, like the foot before and the foot behind in walking. Each thing has its own intrinsic value and is related to everything else in function and position. Ordinary life fits the absolute as a box and its lid. The absolute works together with the relative, like two arrows meeting in midair. Reading words, you should grasp the great reality. Do not judge by any standards. If you do not see the way, you do not see it, even as you walk on it. When you walk the way, it is not near, it is not far. If you are deluded, you are mountains and rivers away from it. I respectfully say to those who wish to be enlightened, do not waste your time by night or day. So it opens with the mind of the great sage of India, the Buddha, is intimately conveyed from west to east. And this refers to Bodhidharma's voyage from India to China. Among human beings are wise ones and fools, but in the way there is no northern or southern patriarch. At the time, the two main schools in China, the southern school would teach the way of sudden enlightenment, and the northern school, gradual enlightenment. And so there was a great deal of a difference of opinion, let's say. in time, it was recognized that these were artificial distinctions, that there are elements of both sudden and gradual awakenings that we experience as we proceed this practice. The subtle source is clear and bright. The tributary streams flow through darkness. Now, if we think of tributary streams, we know that they all flow to the same sea. To be attached to things is illusion, yet to encounter the absolute is not yet enlightenment. So we don't negate the rational mind, the discriminating mind, but we acknowledge it. Each and all, the subjective and objective spheres are related, and at the same time, independent. So what he's saying here is samsara and nirvana, mutually inclusive of each other. One of those Zen koans that we encounter. It goes into a section here where he talks about related, yet working differently, though each keeps its own place. Form makes the character and appearance different. Sounds distinguish comfort and discomfort. The dark makes all words one. Again, the union of absolute and relative. The brightness distinguishes good and bad phrases. The four elements return to their nature as a child to its mother. Fire is hot, wind moves, water wet, earth hard. Eyes see, ears hear, nose smells, tongue tastes salt and sour. Each is independent of the other, our discrimination, sense of discrimination. Yet cause and effect must return to the great reality, the absolute or the one. Separate senses belonging to the one. The words high and low are used relatively. Within light there is darkness, but do not try to understand that darkness. I think what he's saying here is we have to experience. Within darkness there is light, but do not look for that light. Light and darkness are a pair, like the foot before and the foot behind in walking. So he's talking here about harmonization of activity. I've seen a neurologist say that each step acts as a quiet regulator of the nervous system. It's left-right rhythm gently harmonizing communication between the left and right hemispheres of the brain. Each thing has its own intrinsic value and is related to everything else in function and position. It's another statement of not to. Ordinary life fits the absolute as a box and its lid. Absolute works together with the relative like two arrows meeting in midair. Describing harmony. And we lean one way or the other at our peril. You can think of perhaps matter and antimatter as a pair, collapsing to gather into one reality. Reading words, you should grasp the great reality. Do not judge by any standards. If you do not see the way, you do not see it even as you walk on it. When you walk the way, it is not near, it is not far. If you are deluded, you are mountains and rivers away from it. I respectfully say to those who wish to be enlightened, do not waste your time by night or day. And I see this as both an encouragement to practice and a warning not to get caught in storytelling or wishing. So this is a poem about harmony, the harmony of me and other, human and divine, absolute and relative, difference and sameness. Shito's insight is a clear echo of the Buddha's middle way. The Buddha realized that liberation is not to be found in the separation of this and that, but in the not to of this and that. Early in the poem, Shito expresses the core insight of his dharma. To be attached to things is illusion. To encounter the absolute is not yet enlightenment. In other words, it's not relative, it's not absolute. It's not human, it's not divine, not this and not that. So then, what is the answer to this ultimate Zen question? The opening lines of the Heart Sutra suggest the answer. Form is exactly emptiness, emptiness exactly form. It is also discovered through the constant rebalancing of the human mind, which keeps veering between the extremes of relative reality and absolute reality, though we most often veer toward the relative. Shito warns us not to cling to this world or to the absolute. It is neither, and it is both. Realizing this, here, now, is enlightenment. Shito also uses the images of darkness and light, not as opposites, but instead to be realized as harmonious. He switches up our expectation that the absolute is light, but instead says the absolute is darkness, for it is unknowable and opaque. The relative, or worldly, is not darkness as we might think, but light, for it is seen and knowable. Our delusion is that the mind's wanting the reality of life always to be something other than it is our actual suffering. Accepting reality as it is, without wanting it to be something else, is liberation. Shito tells us to look at reality as it is with a still mind that is free of desire or preference for this or that outcome. And you will see this clearly for yourself. And you can do it because your essential mind is still and completely whole, and its ability to respond to circumstances is limitless. The foundational work of Zen requires discipline and commitment in training ourselves to remain grounded like this. Unlike his contemporary Mazu, who usually just cut off a student's question with a stick or a shout, Shito engaged and encouraged inquiry from those who came to learn. Both ways have their uses. Sometimes one needs to cut off the ignorant mind. Sometimes one needs to engage it. Knowing which approach to use is the skillful means applied by the Zen teacher. After a long life of practice in his mountain hut home, Shito accepted the offer of a formal monastery in his 60s. In the year 764, he entered the hall and addressed the monks, saying, "Just see what the Buddha saw. This mind is Buddha mind. You should each recognize your miraculous mind." He lived out, practiced, and taught this profound realization for the rest of his life. This is the task for us to acknowledge and then live it out. He realized, like the Buddha, that he was not separate from absolute or essential reality. From his Dharma teaching grew not only the Soto school of Zen, but also two others as well. Our second poem I'd like to share with you tonight. It's called The Song of the Grass Roof Hermitage. And it was written by Shito when he was an old man. The culmination of his teaching, his lifestyle, and ultimately the man himself. It goes, "I've built a grass hut where there's nothing of value. After eating, I relax and enjoy a nap. When it was completed, fresh weeds appeared. Now it's been lived in, covered by weeds. The person in the hut lives here calmly, not stuck to inside, outside, or in between. Places worldly people live, he doesn't live. Realms worldly people love, he doesn't love. Though the hut is small, it includes the entire world. In 10 square feet, the old man illumines forms and their nature. A Mahayana Bodhisattva trusts without doubt. The middling and lowly can't help wondering, will this hut perish or not? Perishable or not, the original master is present, not dwelling south or north east or west. Firmly based on steadiness, it can't be surpassed. A shining window below the green pines. Jade palaces or vermilion towers can't compare with it. Just sitting with head covered, all things are at rest. Thus, this mountain monk doesn't understand at all. Living here, he no longer works to get free. Who would proudly arrange seats trying to entice guests? Turn around the light to shine within, then just return. The vast, inconceivable source can't be faced or turned away from. Meet the ancestral teachers, be familiar with their instruction. Bind grasses to build a hut, and don't give up. Let go of hundreds of years and relax completely. Open your hands and walk, innocent. Thousands of words, myriad interpretations, are only to free you from obstructions. If you want to know the undying person in the hut, don't separate from this skin bag here and now. So I'd like to share a little commentary on this one as well with you. So I've built a grass hut where there's nothing of value. After eating, I relax, enjoy a nap. In other words, no worries, no distractions, acceptance. When it was completed, fresh weeds appeared, unbothered by fresh outflow of the samsaric mind. Now it's been lived in, covered by weeds. Think of the memories, reflections, and all that has brought us to this point. The person in the hut lives here calmly, not stuck to inside, outside, or in between. Places worldly people live, he doesn't live. Realms worldly people love, he doesn't love. Again, remaining free from attachments. Though the hut is small, it includes the entire world. In 10 square feet, an old man illumines forms and their nature. Maintaining perspective of the relative and absolute here. A Mahayana Bodhisattva trusts without doubt. I think what he's saying here is, this is wisdom of an awakened mind, without the discursive doubt of our rational minds, but instead open to curiosity, awe, and wonder. He says, perishable or not, the original master is present. So clearly, being now, being consciousness. He then shares this phrase with us, beautiful poetic phrase, a shining window below the green pines. And for me, this evokes a poignant image of a man in harmony with nature, living an illuminated life, divine even. Just sitting with head covered, all things are at rest. And just think of the simplicity and authority of the word just. We talk about just sitting in Zen. And, you know, what does this suggest to you? The word just here is holding a lot of meaning here. It kind of implies just a simple and total acceptance of the current moment, whatever that is bringing to us. And then he says, this mountain monk doesn't understand at all. And, you know, I think here he's referring to, you know, the rational minds struggling to really, put experience into some kind of equation that we can understand. Roshi used to say, you know, the rational mind's understanding, grasping. The understanding is the booby prize. So, then he says, living here, he no longer works to get free. In other words, there is nothing to accomplish or to grasp onto. Who would proudly arrange seats trying to entice guests? And I think here we can say, what is the use of our tendency to gather fame or fortune? And it could even be referring to the mind's understanding. We try to fit everything into our vast library of knowledge that we've accumulated over our lives. But the absolute is something different. So turn around to light, the light to shine within, and return. So again, letting go of old patterns. Meet the ancestral teachers, be familiar with their instruction, find grasses to build a hut, and don't give up. So he's instructing us to do this work with determination. Open your hands and walk, innocent. Thousands of words, myriad interpretations are only to free you from obstruction. If you want to know the undying person in the hut, your own Buddha nature, don't separate from this skin bag, this corporeal existence here and now. So in order to fulfill and transcend our roster of modern duties, we need to adopt a model for ourselves that constantly reminds us that to eat, work, create, relax, and sleep are all holy endeavors. These are the grasses we use to build our hut. So we must practice the middle way, realizing that we are both human and divine. Not by fighting our humanity, but also not getting caught by it. And this practice never ends, because, as the poem says, the hut is constantly sprouting weeds. Not fighting with our humanity, our weeds. To live in the present is an urgent part of Zen practice, because living in the moment and trusting it is life. It is also preparation for death, because death and all it is imagined to be is just an idea. You and your essence are not two. See as the Buddha saw. This reality cannot be surpassed. How can you surpass one? It is a shining window beneath the green pines. Jade palaces or vermilion towers can't compare with it, Shito says. Just sitting with head covered, all things are at rest. Just sitting, just walking, just eating, just working, just creating, in the now, all things are at rest. And I don't understand any of it, Shito says. What's more, I don't need to understand it, he might have added. I no longer need to become free, to seek liberation, for the vast, inconceivable source can't be faced or turned away from, since it is me. You can't face yourself or turn away from yourself, because you're it. What else do you need to understand? Can the eye see itself? He says, meet the ancestral teachers, for they are you. Be familiar with their instruction, for it is yours. Bind grasses to build a hut. Take care of your body, your mind, and this life. And don't give up. Don't give up on trusting yourself. And don't let the words of the Dharma complicate things for you. For thousands of words, myriad interpretations, are only to free you from obstructions. As the identity of relative and absolute says, reading words, you should grasp the great reality. Trust yourself and see beyond. Never give up. I have another short poem I'd like to share with you to end with. This is from another excerpt from another great master, the Verses on the Faith Mind by Seng Khan, the third Chinese patriarch of Chang, and that also expounds this harmony that Shinto shares with us. To come directly into harmony with this reality, just simply say when doubt arises, not to. In this not to, nothing is separate. Nothing is excluded. No matter when or where, enlightenment means entering this truth. And this truth is beyond extension or diminution in time or space. In it, a single thought is 10,000 years. Emptiness here, emptiness there, but the infinite universe stands always before your eyes. Infinitely large and infinitely small, no difference, for definitions have vanished and no boundaries are seen. So too with being and non-being. Don't waste time in doubts and arguments that have nothing to do with this. One thing, all things, move among and intermingle without distinction. To live in this reality, to live in this realization, is to be without anxiety about non-perfection. To live in this faith is the road to non-duality, because the non-dual is one with the trusting mind. Words. The way is beyond language, for it is there, for in it there is no yesterday, no tomorrow, no today.